Hey, we're headed to Nehemiah 13 today as we conclude our series, Nehemiah, Cupbearer to the King. I've had fun hanging out in this book. If you notice the gates hanging around the room, I will not be highlighting those in today's message. Those are left over, of course, from Wednesday night when we took some time. And if you missed that, it's always available on our YouTube page or our Facebook page. You can go back and watch the stream as well. But we took some time to look at the gates of Jerusalem that Nehemiah hung when he rebuilt the walls. And it'll help bring God's word to life for you a little bit if you hang out and study those a little bit as well. So picture yourself, if you will, inside of old Jerusalem today, and those are the gates to go in and out of as we've entered his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Amen? So we're going to Nehemiah chapter number 13, as I mentioned, and the message is titled Remember, and it's the last two verses of his book, of this 13-chapter book, is what we're going to read today as we wrap up this series. And it says this, "So I purified," and the I is Nehemiah, "so I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign." Let me make note of when he says everything foreign, this is a religious thing for him. He's just not talking about nationalities directly per se. The Bible, when you read through the Old Testament and the books of Moses, is very specific about no matter what country someone came from, the children of Israel were to treat everyone the same. The Bible is very clear about that in the Old Testament as well. So when he says of everything foreign, he's talking about a religious thing when he says this here, not so much a nationalism thing. So he purified them of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. I also made provision for contributions of wood at designated times. Of course, that's for the sacrifices and for the first fruits. And then I want you to catch this prayer that he prays. Nehemiah prays all throughout this book. There are multiple prayers from him. But here's his last prayer. They are the last words of his book. Remember me with favor, my God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the testimony of Nehemiah's life and how it speaks into ours as well. As we consider the words of his last prayer today, Lord God, I pray that it will speak to us once again as we hold on to the things that we've been taught and hide them in our heart as we live for you, Lord God. We love you. We honor you in the strong name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, I pray Nehemiah's prayer. Remember me, and I know you will. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Memory, we would have to all agree, is pretty important, right? Pretty important. Our memory, losing it is difficult. I have an anonymous poem with me that I brought with me this morning that I'm going to read to open, and perhaps you will be able to relate to a few of the things in it real quick as I walk through this to begin. It goes like this. Just a line to say I'm living, that I'm not among the dead, though I'm getting more forgetful and mixed up in my head. I got used to my arthritis, to my dentures I'm resigned. I can manage my bifocals, but God, I miss my mind. For sometimes I can't remember when I stand at the foot of the stairs if I must be going up for something or have I just come down from there. And before the fridge so often, my poor mind is filled with doubt. Have I just put food away, or have I come to take some out? And there's a time when it is dark with my nightcap on my head. I don't know if I'm retiring or just getting out of bed. So if it's my turn to write you, there's no need for getting sore. I may think that I have written and don't want to be a bore. So remember that I love you and wish that you were near, but now it's nearly mail time, so I must say goodbye, dear. There I stand beside the mailbox with a face so very red. Instead of mailing you my letter, I opened it instead. Anybody relate to not remembering everything? Sometimes it can be a little difficult along the way. Karen Bola is a John Hopkins researcher, and these are the things that she says people forget the most, or some of the things we forget the most. She said that 83% of us would confess that we have a hard time remembering people's names. Does anybody bear witness in here? Anybody have a tough time with the names sometimes? Yeah. 60% of us can't remember where we put things. Come on, anybody? You know you put it away, but you can't remember where you left it at. Yeah, that's a common, I would think that would be way higher than 60%. I'm surprised by the next one. It said 57% of people can't remember telephone numbers. I don't know if anybody remembers a telephone number anymore, but that's there. 49% can't remember something that was said. 42% of people have trouble remembering even faces. And if you can't remember whether you have done something or not, did I already move the clothes from the washer to the dryer? Come on, did I already do that? Do you go check it and you already did it? Yeah, so somehow that number was only 38%. But that's pretty common if you can't remember that. We can all be pretty forgetful people. Here's what we have to be cautious of. If we aren't careful, we will transpose our own humanity onto God. We will think that because we're forgetful and we don't remember things, then perhaps God doesn't remember things also. And God forgets things and view him differently than we ought to. And because that takes place, I think it's part of why the Bible is filled with people who ask God in prayer to remember them. It's a common prayer throughout Scripture. You will remember when Jesus was crucified, he hung between two thieves on the cross. And hanging there, initially those thieves mocked him and riled him and things like that. And then one of them had a change of heart and began to rebuke the other one and said, hey, like, you know, we're hanging here because we did things wrong. But this guy's hanging here for no reason. And he switched in his way of thinking until he finally actually said this to Jesus. And let's put it up, Luke 23:42. Then he said, this one thief, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Boy, this is a prayer that's prayed all throughout the Scriptures. So put this next one up for me as well. Samson prayed it. Samson, at the end of his life, you should have another slide for me that has the Remember Me prayers on it. Thanks so much. Samson, at the end of his life, when his eyes had been plucked out and he was a prisoner, and he found a servant and asked them to position his hands at the two columns so that he could push them down and crush that place they were in on the Philistines, if you remember that account. As he stood there, he prayed this to God, remember me. Was his prayer. Jeremiah prayed it in Jeremiah chapter number 15, verse number 15, remember me. The psalmist prayed it in Psalm 106. David prayed it, a man after God's own heart, in Psalm 27, verse 7. All this same prayer, and it's other places in Scripture as well, where people look to God and they pray this simple prayer, remember me. Remember me. Praise God, he does. Amen? Prayed all throughout. I was told a story of a man who was flying one time, and he was on a flight. And on this flight, this individual, there was, let me back up a little bit. When I was, when my sons were young, they flew without my wife and I on a couple of occasions. Not when they were real little, but when they were, you know, 12, 13, 14, they would fly down to Puerto Rico or back where their grandparents were without us. And when you fly that way, how that works is your child is assigned to an individual, to a flight attendant or someone, and they have like a special badge, and they walk them all the way through to the plane. And when the plane lands, this is your airline lesson for the day, they don't get off the plane with everyone else. They wait, and then a flight attendant also gets them and brings them all the way out to the baggage claim area where you're waiting for them, and they match IDs and all this kind of stuff. So our sons flew that way along the way. And this man who I heard this story from, he was flying one time, and there was a young fellow on the plane, and this young fellow actually had Down syndrome on the plane. And he was there, and when the plane got seated and the flight attendant came up and went through the safety instructions and things like that, this young man was there, and he says to the flight attendant, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And she's like, I won't forget you. And he's like, all right, remember me. And then as they continued through the flight, he says, every single time the flight attendant came down the aisle, he would say the same thing. Don't forget me. Remember me. Remember me when the plane lands. And she would say, I'll remember you. I know you're here. Okay, remember me. He was so concerned with being forgotten. Truth is, no one wants to be forgotten. We know that. Although we may forget, and all of us do, God is not a person, and God doesn't forget. God is infinite. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And as we close our journey through Nehemiah today, his final prayer is going to help us to remember some things about God Almighty. Recall with me as well that when Jesus was just a boy, only 12 years old, his family traveled to Jerusalem on an annual pilgrimage one time. And all devout Jewish families would travel to Jerusalem. And in particular, Jewish men, they were required to travel there 3 times a year for different festivals. For the Passover celebration, often a whole family would go. And a whole family went on this occasion. It was 80 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. How long does it take you to go 80 miles now? Depends on what time of day, and do you have to get through D.C. or wherever else in that regard. But at this time, you were traveling by foot or by a donkey or something like that, and generally it was about a 3-day journey. Anybody think you could cover 80 miles on foot in 3 days? Some of you could. Some of us might not pull it off. That's a lot of miles a day, but it would have been about a 3-day journey. So Jesus' family would have traveled 3 days from Nazareth to Jerusalem. They were then there for this whole 7-day celebration. And then when it finished, they then pack up for the 3-day journey to head back home to where they lived. And when they packed up and began to journey back to Nazareth, we know the story. We know that they did it without Jesus. They left Jesus behind. We could ask, how could that ever happen? Well, probably the family was traveling in a large group all together, and they just figured he's with his cousins or he's with somebody else, but he's in the group. They figure he's in the group. And they were actually about a day into their journey before they realized that they had forgotten Jesus. Now, you may have wanted to leave your 12-year-old child at the mall a couple of times along the way, but fortunately, you never did it. And you kept, at least I hope you never did it. Yeah, so, and you kept them with you, but they had lost him, and they were a day in the journey, so now they had to travel the day all the way back to find him. The Messiah who had come to seek the lost was now being sought. So, Joseph and Mary, they find him, the Bible says, after 3 days of stress and anxiety and searching. Now, I've lost my child before in a store. Come on, Mom and Dad. Haven't you lost your child before in public? You've done it. I mean, you turned around and you thought your child was with you, and they are gone. And in the seconds, and it may only be a matter of seconds until you locate them, if your child is small, that is a terrifying experience. As you whirl around and start calling out to them to locate them and things like that. But 3 days, 3 days must have been, I mean, he wasn't a baby, but still, he's only 12. And when they find him, they reprimand him. They say to him, why have you treated us this way, is what they say to him. They're upset with him because he's sitting around talking with the religious leaders and is laid back. And Jesus' answer to them introduced God to us in a brand new way, in a way that God had never been known before throughout his word, a way even Nehemiah never could have known him. It wasn't that God had become something new. It was that no one ever knew God the way Jesus knew God, God the Father. God the Son knew him so well. And Jesus answered his parents with these words. He said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" That was his response. No one had ever spoken of God like that before. Read the entire Old Testament cover to cover. No one ever spoke of God that way. God was understood as a father in a general sense of the term, but God was never known as my Father. My Father. When the disciples had watched Jesus pray on many occasions, they came to him once with the request, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, pray like this." And what were the first words out of Jesus' mouth? "Our Father." That's how you talk to God. He's your Father. Jesus had a very personal relationship with God the Father, and he knew that God the Father wanted a very personal relationship with all of us. Amen? Knowing God as our Father, knowing that we are his sons and his daughters, helps assure us of some truths from his word that definitely come to mind when we consider Nehemiah's prayer at the end of his Kairos moment. And the first thing that I want us to consider today is that God remembers his promises. God remembers his promises. When the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, they felt forgotten. It would make sense if you think about it. They cried out to God, but they felt like they were forgotten. They felt like God had forgotten what he had promised Abraham. But the Bible says that their prayers had ascended to heaven, and God said he heard their cries. So God sent Moses to lead them out. I want you to catch this. God remembered. God remembered. When God called Noah to build an ark, we are told that the earth was filled with wickedness at that time, and the earth was flooded, and Noah spent about a year on that ark, and he must have wondered at times as he lived on an ark with all these animals and his small family, did God forget about us? Did he even forget that we're even here? Like, what is even going to happen? But the waters receded, and God put a rainbow in the sky as a reminder that he would never destroy the earth with water again. God remembers. To this day, that rainbow reminds us that God remembers, that he keeps his promises. God even has a book of remembrance, we are told, where he records our lives in it and the events of our lives. He records every tear in that book. God always remembers. Now, Nehemiah, let's go back to him. He had served for many years. I do not know how old Nehemiah is at the very end of his book, but he looked around as he was completing his purpose, as the wall had been reconstructed and the gates hung and the job was done, and he had traveled and had come back, and Nehemiah observed something. People keep forgetting me, is what he noticed. People keep forgetting me. You see, Nehemiah had been there for the whole project, but once the walls were complete and the dedication had taken place, he had done what he had told the king of Babylon he would do. He went back to Babylon. Remember, that was where he was from to begin with. So he had been born there. His ancestors had come from Jerusalem, but Nehemiah had been born in Babylon. So Nehemiah, after they rebuilt the wall, he honored his word. He went back to Babylon for a period of time. We don't know exactly how long, until finally the king one day says to him, hey, you can go back again to Jerusalem and check things out, see how things are going there. So Nehemiah makes a trip from Babylon back to Jerusalem, and when he gets there, he can't believe what he discovers. It's like everyone forgot everything he had ever taught them. He's like, do you remember any of the stuff we talked about? Remember when we stood here and we read God's word and we said we were going to honor him and we were going to live according to the Bible and we were going to worship in the temple according to the law of Moses, and they weren't following all of these things. And he had to institute more reforms and set things into place and get things going again. And in the last chapter of Nehemiah, Nehemiah then prays the same prayer three times in that chapter alone that is recorded for us. As he's going through these reforms, he keeps turning to God and saying this, remember me. I think he thought, man, people can't remember anything. I wonder if God's like that. I wonder if God forgets too. Remember me, God. Don't forget me. Don't forget who I am. I want to assure you of something, church. God always remembers. God doesn't forget his word. God never forgets his promises. His timing isn't always our timing. His ways are not always our ways, but he never forgets. He never forgets what he said he would do. Let me hear somebody say amen. Amen. He always remembers. When Joshua's life was coming to an end and he gathers his family and people around them to remind them of their experience with God, these are his words in Joshua 23:14. He says, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. He's about to die. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. What was Joshua saying to them? God remembers. God remembered. Don't forget that. The same God who remembered his word for Joshua is the same God who remembers his promises for the Israelites in Egypt. He's the same God who put the rainbow in the sky. He's the same God who always remembers his promises in your life and my life as well. So if you ever feel forgotten, let me assure you that you're not. Amen? People will forget you. People will always forget us. People are forgetful, but God is not. God always remembers. He remembers all that he's promised. He's faithful to his word. As for God's memory, he doesn't remember everything, though. He doesn't remember everything. God does always remember his promises, but there is something that God forgets. God forgets our sins. God forgets our sins. Here's a great promise from Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Even if you've never said amen in church before, you should right now. Amen. 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 Praise God. I had a conversation yesterday with a couple of my neighbors, and one of them's working on my car. And we were just talking about different things, and the conversation got spiritual. And one of them told me that he'd grown up Catholic, and he was asking about comparisons and differences between them. And the conversation went in this direction. And I, of course, when I get into any conversation with someone like this, I always want to steer the conversation to Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus. You remember the woman, the Samaritan woman, when she asked Jesus, we say you should worship here, you say we should worship there. Jesus brings the conversation back to what really matters real quick when you read the accounts. I'm like, we're going to talk about Jesus if we're going to talk about spiritual things. So when I'm having this conversation, I said, one thing that we all believe is that none of us are good enough to go to heaven. I said, it doesn't matter who you are, what denomination you come from, none of us believe we're good enough to go to heaven. The only way to go to heaven is that we have to believe that our sins were taken from us and they were put on Jesus, and that Jesus paid for all of our sins. And this one guy who was standing there, and I've not known him to in any way be a spiritual individual, but when I said that, he raised both of his hands and went, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. In that regard. Come on, we are grateful. Amen. We're grateful that Jesus paid for all of our sins. God forgets our sins. What an awesome promise. God never forgets any other things. God never forgets your birthday. God never forgets your address. God never forgets your prayers. God never forgets whether you switched the clothes from the washing machine to the dryer yet. God never forgets how many hairs are on your head, although that's easier for some of you now than it used to be. God never forgets any of these things, but God forgets your sin. Amen? God forgets your sin. When I was only 15, I was working with my grandfather. My grandfather was a building contractor, and I was working with him painting one day, and we were painting in this lab. It was in an IBM lab in Richmond, Virginia. He was a commercial contractor, and I knew something. See, I grew up around contractors from the time I was a little boy. My family's all construction workers, so I grew up around it. I knew it in this regard. So there was something that I had known from when I was very little, and that was that you never move your ladder with your paint on your ladder. You just don't do that. I knew that. No one had to tell me this day. I knew it. But guess what I did? So I think we were painting a ceiling grid or something or another. I'm like 15 years old. I came down my ladder, and the little flap that flips down, my gallon of paint is there, and I slid the ladder, and what happened? My paint dumped off on a computer in the IBM lab that's worth thousands of dollars. It dumped off, and I'm just like, oh no, maybe if I could, Jesus, just if I could go home now and with that. So I didn't run tell my grandfather because I knew he was not going to be happy. I went and I grabbed one of my cousins who was a few years older than me, and he came in. This is back in the day when computers were the size of vending machines, all right? We're going all the way back to the 80s. You remember the 80s? When we used to have like a slate and chalk at school, and Paul would take us in the wagon to get there and things like that back in the 1980s. So this is back in the 1980s. So it's the thing is massive, and the paint's dumped all down it. And my cousin came in there and a couple others, and they scrambled, and we cleaned and cleaned. And amazingly, somehow when we were done, we cleaned it all up, and everything seemed to still work. At least it worked when we left. So we got it all cleaned up at that point. But here's what I want you to catch. My dad worked for my grandfather at this time as well. So my dad, of course, who was well aware of this whole story, for years later, my dad just died four or five years ago. My dad, 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, all the way up until the year or so before my dad died, something would happen. My dad could be working at his house and he's building something. And my dad also is a carpenter. And maybe he cuts a piece of wood too short or something isn't done quite right where he would mess up. And if I made any comment to him of, oh, whatever else, I made some comment, his standard response was always this: at least I didn't dump a gallon of paint on a computer at IBM that was worth thousands of dollars. That just remained for all of my life. He would say that to me no matter what happened. At least I didn't dump the guy big. All right. So he was just playing. Obviously, he wasn't fussing with me. It was just a comical thing that stuck around all the way through. But I never got to forget about that because he made sure that I would never forget about it, though he was just joking. But here's what I want you to catch today. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. God forgets. God doesn't 10 years later say, well, let's talk about what you did back in 2005. He doesn't do that. God forgets our sins. The prophet Micah spoke about it in Micah 7:19. Micah 7:19 says this, "You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." Praise God. What a promise. The average ocean depth is 14,000 feet. That's pretty deep, but the deepest spot in the ocean known is in the Mariana Trench. It's near Guam. That doesn't mean it's the deepest spot. It's the deepest spot we know of. It's nearly 7 miles down. So you could take Mount Everest and drop it in the ocean right there, and it would the peak of Mount Everest will still be a mile below the surface of the ocean. That's how deep the ocean is at that point. It's incredible to think of how deep the sea really goes. Scientists say we know more about the moon than we know about the depths of the sea. It's so unknown when you get all the way down in there. Micah describes our sins as being cast into this unknown abyss. In a place that we went, they're just gone. They're cast in there, is what he says. The psalmist spoke of it as well in Psalm 103. He spoke of it this way, Psalm 103. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Come on, he remembers who you are, but he forgets your sin. He forgets your sin. We never have to worry about God bringing up past sins. Jesus paid it all. God's grace is without measure. I was in IHOP one time eating, and the only reason I would go to IHOP, obviously, is because I'm very conscious of what I eat, and I knew that it'd be very healthy food, so I don't know. Anyway, so I was in IHOP one time eating, and we were there, and when it came time after we were finished eating, I asked the server, I was like, "Hey, can we get our check?" And the server said to me, "It's already paid for." And I was like, "What? Who paid for this?" And someone had picked up our check who was also in IHOP. And when that happened, my first thought was I should have ordered more food. That was the first thing that came to my mind. But my second thought was a thought of gratitude. Wow, God bless the individual who has done this for me, who has picked this up for me. When we stand before God one day, if we ask God, "God, what is the price for my sin?" The answer is going to be, "Someone already paid for that. Jesus already paid for that." And if we ask, "But what exactly did Jesus pay for?" Watch this. "What exactly did Jesus pay for?" God's going to say this, "I can't remember." Come on. "I can't remember. I forgot your sin. I cast them as far as the east is from the west. They are removed from me." What a peace that brings. One more thought. I promise I'll be quick on it. God remembers you. God remembers his promises. He forgets our sins. God remembers you. There was a time in Israel's history where the people believed God had forgotten them. Things were bad so long, they began to wonder if God remembered his promises or even who they were. So God sent the prophet Isaiah to them, and these are Isaiah's words in Isaiah chapter 49, 14 through 16. He says this, "But Zion said," so this is the prayer from Israel, "but Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.'" Here's God's response. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." Leave that there for just one second. What's the last part of that verse? "Your walls are ever before me." Read it with me. Come on. "Your walls are ever before me." What have we been looking at for the last couple of months? Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. That's what he's talking about. The wall around Jerusalem. The wall at this time is a place of protection. He's speaking of security in their day. But in Isaiah's day, the walls were in ruin at that time. But here's what I want you to catch. Family, whether you're condition is whether you're at a place where everything seems like it's falling apart or if everything seems to be all in order, either way, you are always before God. your walls are ever before me. When they're in ruin, they're before me. When they're rebuilt, they're before me. It's true in our lives as well. Amen. You can go back to my point for me. Amen. It's so true. It's true in our lives. God can't forget you. Melissa was just up here with us with our graduates just a bit ago. Of course, she's a staff member here at our church, and many of us know nine-month-old Ian, who is also a staff member at our church. He's our shipping and receiving manager and in charge of printing and things like that. But anyway, Melissa has shown up at the office. I'm going to bust on her right here. Melissa has shown up at the office more than once without the baby bag. She's done it. She's come to work without the baby bag. Melissa has gone home from the church, and guess where the baby bag is? Here. She has done that. So when we went to the network conference this year, where all of our churches get together and it's a training thing, Melissa came as well, and she forgot the baby stroller. She left a stroller at home, and which of course we needed, and then we got to run get one. And but you know what Melissa never forgets? The baby. She never forgets the baby. Come on, that's a good thing, right? She never, that's Isaiah's illustration was, come on. He's saying, they're saying, we think God forgot us. And the response is, you think a mother can forget the baby that she gave birth to? God say, no, I'm for you even more than that is what he says. Just so you know, because you're going to run tell her, I asked Melissa before I preached if I could say that. So, all right, so I'm off the hook. God never forgets you, never does. Jesus gave us an idea of how well God knows us in Matthew 10:30 when he said, and I alluded to this verse before, he says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Juliana, if you'd come and join me in the worship team at this time. God knows everything about us. God remembers you. God remembers you. You know, Nehemiah prayed a lot throughout his life. Nehemiah prayed for 4 months. Nehemiah prayed for 40 seconds. Nehemiah prayed for 4 seconds. Nehemiah has all these random length prayers all throughout his book. When you read through it, we saw that. He's just praying all the time. He was always talking to God. Nehemiah read God's word. We saw that in the book. He really prioritized the word of God in his life. He had the word of God stood up and read out loud to the children of Israel at the rebuilding of the wall. So Nehemiah is a man who prays and talks to God regularly. Nehemiah is a man who prioritizes and values the word of God in his life. Nehemiah followed God's call on his life, and he had that kairos moment where he was set apart, and God used him to impact others significantly. And yet, in the end, he seems concerned that maybe God doesn't know what he's done or who he is. But this one thing, all the great things Nehemiah did, this one thing that Nehemiah was concerned about, he didn't even need to be concerned about it. He didn't need to be, because God was never going to forget him. God was never going to forget him. I don't know. I think somehow in life, it must be that we go through ups and downs and ebbs and flows. And sometimes people come through for us and sometimes people don't. And I think if we're not careful, we take that and we put it on God. And we think, God must have forgotten me also. God is not a man. God is not a person. God is God. God is God. He created people. God is an eternal being. He always has been. He always will be. He is not like us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is beyond us in every way. And God never forgets. He is our Father. Amen? He always remembers his promises. He always forgets our sins, thank God, as we confess them to him. And he always remembers you. I invite you to stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, God doesn't just arbitrarily forgive sin. He tells us to repent and to confess our sins to him. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, right? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to confess every random individual sin, because you and I have sinned and not even known we've sinned. There are times where we've sinned where we know we're sinning, But there are times where you've sinned and you didn't even know you were sinning because we just fall short of the glory of God. So that confessing of sins doesn't mean that I need to sit down and try to write a list of every single sin I've ever done. But what I do need to confess to God is this: I'm a sinner. I have sinned. And God, I confess that to you, that I fall short. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to hang on the cross. I thank you that you took my sins off of me and you placed them on Jesus Christ, that he paid for them. And I accept that, God, as a finished work, as a payment for sins in my life, Lord God. Forgive me. Forgive me of all these sins, God, that I confess to you. Wash me. Make me new. And when we do this, God takes those sins. And what does he do? He's like, you're out of here. You're out of here. He casts them into the abyss, as far as the east is the west. He removes them from them, the Bible says. And we know then that he'll never forget us, but he casts them away. Praise God. Past sins, present sins, future sin, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. If you've joined us today and you've not confessed to God that you're a sinner, I hope you won't leave today without doing so. If you're watching online, I hope you won't let this broadcast finish without doing so, without confessing to God, God, I fall short, I've sinned. Would you forgive me of all my sins? As you pray that prayer, the God who remembers you will wash you and make you clean. He will make you new. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the example that Nehemiah set for us as we've hung out for a little while in his book. And God, now as we consider his final prayer today of God, remember me, we thank you that you always remember us. You always remember the promises that you have spoken over our lives, and what a peace it brings to our hearts to know that you've washed our sins away. We thank you, we love you, we honor you in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you have to leave fast, go ahead. You can give God praise for all that. If you have to leave fast, do so. But if you can hang out for just a couple more minutes, let's just worship a bit to close today. Amen. If you're at home, God bless you. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. Rest in the peace of that forgiven sin. Amen.